It's 8:01. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, January 21st. I'm Patricia Naft. Last Friday saw two big developments concerning oil and gas development in the North Fork Valley. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The same day, the environmental impact study was released for the Bull Mountain unit just north of Paonia. A settlement was reached between the Forest Service and environmentalists over drilling in the Gunnison National Forest. Five wells were proposed for the forest near the Little Henderson Creek, a small tributary of the North Fork of the Gunnison River. Under last Friday's settlement, the approval for the project is put on hold until an environmental impact statement can be made for that specific area. Kyle Tisdale is an attorney with the Western Environmental Law Center, the group that brought the suit.
The agency originally attempted to approve the project through a categorical exclusion, which is a process where the agency actually doesn't do any analysis of the environmental impacts of the project, but sort of outright just says that it's not going to have any impact on the environment at all. They originally tried to approve the project through one type of categorical exclusion. We administratively appealed that process. And the agency agreed with us and withdrew that original approval. But unfortunately, they went and tried to approve the project a second time through a different categorical exclusion.
That categorical exclusion, he talks about, is a way to bypass the lengthy environmental review process when it's deemed as unnecessary.
They're typically reserved for things like needing to build a shed or something like that on our public land. So very small projects typically. They are used occasionally in oil and gas development, but they are typically used in cases where there has been previous environmental analysis that has been done on the broader area, where they know what impacts might occur, and then it's used on, you know, maybe one well or something like that in an area that's already been analyzed. But here, there has been no underlying analysis that has ever been done of the area where this well is being planned.
So the Law Center and the Forest Service came to an agreement that the service will now do a complete environmental analysis, including a public comment period. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
In other oil and gas news, a few communities in Colorado are fighting for a moratorium or even a complete ban on oil and gas development. Colorado's new Speaker of the House says Republican efforts to compensate mineral owners whose communities have banned fracking take the wrong approach. Benta Berkland has more.
Several Republicans are proposing that local communities should pay mineral owners who stand to lose the value of their property if it can't be developed. But Democratic Speaker of the House, Dickie Lee Hollinghorse, says that approach doesn't solve any problems.
It's a way of punishing communities for having a constitutional voice. I mean, and it may very well be an unconstitutional bill.
Hollinghorse is hoping lawmakers will hold off on introducing any further oil and gas legislation until the governor's task force wraps up its meetings and makes recommendations to the state legislature. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
The Montrose VA Clinic will officially be moving into its new home this week. The new space is about the same size, but Paul Sweeney with the VA says it's a better use of space, especially with all the services they now offer.
The clinic right now, you know, it started out as a primary health care clinic, two providers, and with the advent of telemedicine, we've really expanded what we're doing there now. We have teleretinal services for diabetic patients. We're doing teledermatology, telecardiology. We do a lot of mental health now, and I think the mental health is well worth repeating and talking about a little bit, because there was a study that came out about a month ago that showed that veterans who participate in telemental appointments as opposed to driving long distances to the medical center itself are getting better results, and they make more appointments.
They'll have an open house for the public Thursday morning after a brief ceremony, and we'll be seeing patients by the afternoon. This year, the Sherboneau Theater in Ridgeway is celebrating its 100th anniversary. The theater is known for the musical acts and guest lecturers it brings to the Western Slope. KVNF's Laura Palmisano stopped by the Sherboneau to learn about its history and to see what's ahead for the venue.
Welcome to the historic Sherboneau Theater in Ridgeway.
That's Patrick O'Leary. He's the president of the Ridgeway Chautauqua Society, the community group that runs the Sherboneau.
The building was built by Louis Sherboneau, And he built the theater so that his son and daughter-in-law would have a place to play. His son was a violin player, a fiddle player.
O'Leary says when the venue was first built in 1915, people entered the theater by first walking through the Sherboneau drugstore.
And you would enter into the drugstore, and you would buy your tickets, but you'd also be exposed to the candy and the soda fountain. And you would come in through a door over here into the middle of the theater and take your seat for the silent film.
Over the years, the building has changed hands and served many purposes. O'Leary says it was even a roller rink at one point.
And of course, it's always been the gathering place in town. I understand from the local papers at the time that 300 people came here to hear that the United States had just entered World War I.
In the winter of 2009, the Sherboneau closed. And after that, it reopened as a saloon, but closed again in 2011. In December of that year, community members banded together to take over managing the Sherboneau. That group later became the Chautauqua Society, and O'Leary is happy to announce the organization now owns the Sherboneau.
And what's really, I think, very compelling about that, and what's different about it this time around in terms of bringing this theater back to life, is for the very first time, the historic building itself will be in the hands of a community-based nonprofit.
Ashley King is the executive director of the Sherboneau. She says the theater's programming draws a wide crowd.
Music enthusiasts love the Sherboneau because it's a place to listen to live music. Poetry enthusiasts love the Sherboneau because it's a place to listen to and share poetry. Lecture enthusiasts love to come and learn more about the other people that live in this community or in this region.
King says some well-known figures and musical acts have come to the theater, including singer Molly O'Brien, pianist Doris Merritt, and author Craig Childs. This year, the Sherboneau turns 100. O'Leary says there will be a celebration to mark the anniversary in September. And over the next several years, the Chautauqua Society plans to repair and renovate parts of the theater.
We need a new roof. So that will, you know, be one of the early things that we do and plan for in the renovation. So there will be probably 2 to 3 phases of work.
However, before construction can start, money needs to be raised for renovations and covering the cost of buying the building.
We will be looking to raise in excess of $750,000. We don't have a finalized number yet because we are still working closely on our renovation plans.
A 2-year capital campaign is being planned to work towards that goal. But O'Leary says the most important thing is
to keep the lights on and the shows going.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Check out our website at kvnf.org to see photos of the Sherboneau. Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.